Yes, please.
Almost every Christmas season, an article appears in some religious magazine, daily newspaper, or other piece of literature, or some program on television on the Discovery Channel, or the History Channel, or one of those other educational channels. And it raises questions about the star. The star that led the wise men. And they proceed to describe how it is. It was a comet, or it was a meteor, or it was a nova, a new star, which is actually an old star that's just dying out and seen for the first time. Or it's a conjunction of the planets. All kinds of explanations that they come up with. A newspaper article here that I have, it says, it may have not been so spectacular because it, to stargazers such as the Magi, they noticed it and they saw it. Was the Christmas star a comet? Another has it was a bright meteor, and the most widely was acclaimed in the 1600s by a German astronomer, Johannes Kepler, who suggested the Christmas star was really a conjunction of the planets that came at just the right time. Well, now, I want to talk about this. Now, I'm probably going to preach about it. The visit of the shepherds to the Bethlehem stables took place at least 1 year, probably, and I think 2 years, before the wise men's visit. Now, when I say I think, that's my opinion. Some Bible teachers feel it was just 1 year, but you'll understand why I think two. Luke's gospel makes no reference to a star. It's Matthew chapter 2, if you'll turn to that, please. Matthew chapter 2 that records the star and the experience of the wise men. And I want to read chapter 2. So if you'll find it, you can follow Matthew chapter 2, first book of the New Testament. Chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled because he didn't want any competition. Okay? And it wasn't good if a king would rise up for him in light of Rome and what they'd say. And so when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." So you see, knowing that Christ was coming, knowing where he would be born, was not some big secret, because when he gathered together the chief priests and the scribes, they were able to tell him, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Oh, well, this was of interest to Herod. Okay, a Jew's going to rule his people? No, he was put there by Roman authorities to rule the people. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. See, they came to Jerusalem, you know, the seat of Israel. Came to Jerusalem. He wanted to find out, you know, they wanted to find out where's Where's the Christ? Where's the one who's going to lead his people? And and so the scribes and the chief priests said, no, it's in Bethlehem where he's going to be born. Now, isn't that interesting? They knew about that.
That's right.
They knew about that. And so Herod, he said to the wise men, hey, fellas, come here. He said, when did you see this star appear? And he figured out when that star appeared, and what he wanted to do was find out about how old this Christ child was. All right, now we're still in verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar, liar, liar. He had no intention of worshiping him. He wanted to kill him. You say, how do you prove that? Read on. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They outfoxed him, but God was on their side. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. This was all happening very quick. They could not dawdle around on this. They had to act fast. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth. And he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He was not asking them when this star appeared so he could go and worship. He did it so that he would be able to kill him, just like Joseph was told. Herod wants to kill him. And here we see that that's exactly what he proceeded to do. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Such a genocide does indeed bring weeping.
That's right.
And that happens today when a despotic, a bad ruler, when he gets in charge and he starts killing off certain people and people groups, there's no way to comfort the mothers who lose their children, the husbands and wives who lose their spouses. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that guy with the big name there did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, I want to call your attention several things about the guiding star. First of all, that's a key word, guiding star. First thing, the star was seen from the east, and its position was such that it enabled the wise men to follow it to Judea. That's verse 2. We have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. So who were these wise men? Magi, they're often called. Some feel, were they from Persia? Were they from Babylon? they were astronomers. Now get this. They were astronomers, not astrologers.
That's right. Yep.
Somebody who is follows astrology follows that crazy chart of the version of what sign are you under? I'm under the sign of the cross. You don't need to follow that astrology business. That's bad. That's evil. That's wicked. You don't need that. You say, oh, that's just no. There's not such a thing as innocence. Innocent things when it comes to devilish matters. And that's what astrology is. These were astronomers. They were the scientists who study the stars and the heavens. That's why when they saw that, they say, hey, here's something different. Here's something different. And now, some feel that they may have been Jews. That's possible. Maybe not probable, but they knew the Jewish scriptures. Okay. Were they converts if they were like from Persia, or were they just Jews who lived in Persia? We'll not know till we get to heaven to be able to ask the Lord. And you want to know something? When we get to heaven, all of these things that are of concern to us down here, they're not going to be a concern to us up there. Okay, what's it matter? You know, we're here. And you say, well, I'd just like to know. Yeah, but that's an earthly thing. We're talking about being in heaven. And so we saw his star, they said, okay? His star identified it as the star of the Christ child. And then the second thing, that star led the wise men. And that's commonly accepted that it led them. You see, this was not just a great big old star that was in the sky, and they somehow sighted in on it with their instruments, you know, and then by sighting in on that star, then they were able to get over there and, okay, I think we're directly under it now. No, it wasn't that way. Watch this. When they got to Jerusalem, by the way, they first questioned the average citizens of Jerusalem, and they ended up going to Herod because nobody else around the town knew what was going on. And so then, you know, when Herod heard what was happening, that's when he called them in. And that's in verse 3 that we read. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubling all Jerusalem with him. So he gathered chief priests, scribes, got the wise men there. And Herod, his involvement was instrumental in fulfilling prophecy. Look at verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And then verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and that's regarding the killing of the children. And then in verse 23, more prophecies fulfilled, because he ended up going to Nazareth because of the relative of Herod that was ruling. And that's so that he was able to be called a Nazarene. Now, all of these things, God, you say, well, what's this about other than being? I said, Lord, I don't want to just give a lot of trivia about the star. This is about the power of God.
That's right.
Okay, the power of God to take the unusual and blend it with the usual and bring about his will. Okay, and the usual would have been Herod. Hey, kings like Herod, they kill people. But you got a God who protects them. And you say, well, what about all the mothers that lost their baby? Why wasn't he protecting them? Listen, God isn't responsible for the sin in the world.
Right.
God isn't responsible for the sin in the world. That goes right. You want to have somebody to blame about that sort of thing? You go back to Adam and Eve.
That's
ultimately, of course, Satan. He is the one who creates that kind of evil. But the star was seen only by the wise men. Okay? The star was only seen by the wise men. Neither Herod saw it, the scribes didn't see it, and the people of Jerusalem didn't see it. They didn't see it. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. If he saw the star, he wouldn't have had to ask them what time it appeared. If the scribes and other prominent citizens of Jerusalem had seen the star, he could ask them. They'd have probably come to him and say, hey, there's something unusual happening.
Yep.
Uh-huh, but they didn't. You'll say, only the wise men saw it. And so, and by such timing, Herod wanted to determine the baby's age, as we pointed out in verse 16, because he had 2 years old and under. That's why I think at this point, baby Jesus was 2 years old. Then the next thing is the wise men proceeded to Bethlehem following directions that were given by Herod. Now, the Christ child's location in Bethlehem was not known. And that's why he said, go and search diligently. Okay, fine. He had these ulterior motives, but they didn't know where, you know, it wasn't at 2800 Stable Road. Okay, so he said, go search diligently, find the child. And then verse 10 says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The star reappeared to the wise men.
Uh-huh.
See, it wasn't there.
That's what it says.
If it had been there, then Herod would have seen it. The scribes would have seen it. It didn't see it, but it reappeared. So this was no nova. This was no comet. This wasn't any of those kind of things. And verse 9, you notice verse 9 says, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. That's not L-O-W. Okay, you notice that? It's L-O. And lo, the reappearance was sudden. That word is also used for behold. There's times when our English says, behold. Okay, here it says, lo. And it's a sudden happening. And so, lo, the star. They saw the star, which they saw in the east, and it went before them. Now, consider that the star apparently changed directions. Previously, that's why it couldn't just have been a big old star up there, and they got their sextants out and they sighted in on it, and then they got under, determined that they were under the star. No, it wasn't that. It says here that previously it led the wise men west to Jerusalem. Now it's leading them, well, south to Bethlehem. See, now you find that out when you look at a Bible map. Those maps in the back of your Bible are there for a purpose. And they'll give a lot of insight to Bible verses. So it led them west. They saw it in the east. It led them west to Jerusalem and then south to Bethlehem. So the star was a moving object which went before them. It was not fixed like other stars. And it was not a light of an indefinite distance in the sky, but it was close enough to guide them. And it says it went before them in verse 9. Went before them. Now, how high up was it? How low was it? Okay, what was its position? Well, it was high enough for them to look and follow, but it was low enough so that they could follow it as it would change its directions. And in verse 9, the word till, it's a word of time, and the star had been moving slowly, okay, preceding the Magi until it stood a word indicating, again, an action. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, now they're following it, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, it was low enough that it identified where he was. This is why sometimes artists will depict that star over the house that they depict the Christ child being in. A lot of Christmas cards have that, you see. Now listen, but that star over that house, that's not Catholic. Don't be afraid of it.
Yep, that's right.
Okay? When you see a postcard or a Christmas card like that, or some Christmas painting, that's what we're talking about here. That star went over, led them, and stood over close enough. Now, obviously, if you're putting it on a Christmas card, you got to get it down a little lower than maybe it actually was. But it was low enough that they knew this is the house. I mean, they just didn't give the neighborhood, and they had to go around knocking on the doors, asking, where's the Christ child? Okay? It stood over where the Christ child was. Woo! So this shows that the star was under an outside control because of its movement and its actions. And the word stood carries the idea was caused to stand. This star moved and God caused it to stand over the home where the Christ child was. So putting these pieces together, we see that the object the wise men followed was not of any currently known celestial explanations. I said it before several times, no comet, no meteor, no novas, none of these things were able to account for it. So what was the star? Well, now remember, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created the stars that are there that we see. Could he not create this special heavenly body of a star-like nature? I mean, what's God going to do? Create this thing, and now he's, you know, he's got to somehow reveal to the wise men, this is a Bitzabah. Okay? Because up to now, they didn't know what a Bitzabah was. Well, a Bitzabah is this star-like. Oh, God says, forget it. Them people, they're not going to get it. Let's just tell them it was a star. They can relate to that. And so I say a star-like creation that God made to lead the wise men to fulfill prophecy. To fulfill prophecy and to give us down through the ages evidence of the power of God. No, these things would not convince any of the people who write the articles in the newspaper. It wouldn't change a thing. They're not going to call Roger Hain or any other preacher, and there are many that know these things I've heard, to come and help when they produce a program for 20 minutes. No, not 20 minutes. 60 minutes. I just shortened it for them. I just took over that program. And, you know, they're not going to call us preachers. They don't believe us. They don't believe what the Bible says. They don't want solutions. They want to be able to give their doubt. And give the doubt they do. Father, you have revealed yourself to these wise men. You have revealed yourself to them in the most significant part is that you have revealed yourself to us. And to those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you have worked in us in such a manner as to bring us to yourself. And we know, Father, that you desire for anyone that's here, young or older, that does not know Christ as Savior, that they may find him.
my, what a marvelous thing if they would come to salvation during this time of the year when you have provided for their salvation.